Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
You know, I've always said that parents who don't understand shaken baby syndrome either have had nothing to do with their children or they're lying. And I would also argue that the same can be said of every married person about divorce. If they say that the divorce has never crossed their mind, I don't think they're telling the truth. Now, especially in our culture where divorce is prevalent, I mean, you've got Britney Spears, who's married for 54 days, and Kim Kardashian, who was married for I don't know how many months she was married for, and everybody seems to be getting divorced. You walk into the supermarket, and all of the tabloid, you know, People Magazine, Us Magazine, it's like, who's splitting today? So you really can't avoid this idea about divorce, and what we do know is that divorce is contagious. So one of the things that gets into the way is that we also don't talk about what makes marriage work. We give it up to love and hope for the best, hope it survives. So if you're having thoughts of divorce, it can really catch you off guard, even though we're surrounded by it. And in reality, the thoughts themselves don't have to be problematic. It's what you do with those thoughts that matter. So to talk about whether what you're going through is normal, I'm joined by Marnie Feuerman, the marriage expert at About.com, and she wrote a recent piece about the results of a recent study whose goal was to understand and possibly even to prevent divorce by exploring the thinking and decision-making about divorce. So Marnie, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Thank you for having me, Leslie. It's a pleasure.
So can you tell me a little bit about who did this study and what were they looking for and what did they find?
Well, this was a team of people out of Brigham Young University in Utah primarily, but I know that there were other professors involved, so at other universities, and it was a pretty widespread effort amongst, you know, different universities. And they're very concerned about family issues, marriage, divorce, and I think their overarching message is to try to keep families a unit. So they definitely have a very positive, I guess, their long-term goal, of course, is to affect change and keep families together. And so it
right,
was headed by Dr. Alan Hawkins out of BYU.
Well, because despite what everybody says, I don't think anybody on their wedding day is planning on getting divorced. And divorce is really painful for everybody involved. So I just wanted to put that out there that it isn't some
right.
I don't think these researchers are coming at it from some moralistic perspective. I think they really are concerned about the pain and disruption that divorce actually causes.
Yes, I agree. I think it's not so much, you know, even I was surprised because when I first saw Brigham Young, I thought, well, maybe this is something religious based. And it's not, it wasn't at all. It's like you said, it's just a value system of the consequences of divorce are so pervasive and in our society in such a negative way. And so I think they're just trying to do some really good work and hopefully change that.
So anyway, you were talking about Dr. Alan Hawkins, and I interrupted you. So he was the lead researcher on the study.
Yes, he was the lead researcher, and he's the one that I think had pulled together the data, but I believe all of the other people involved looked at it, assessed it, and then did some basic statistics, but nothing too advanced yet. But he did tell me that he's planning on doing further analysis of the data and also possibly some other studies to, I guess, really get more entrenched in some of the findings they saw initially. So this was sort of a foundational project, and they're going to be doing a lot more from there.
But they actually did find some interesting things in this study. Could you share a couple of them?
Sure. One of the biggest things that they found is that thoughts of divorce are extremely common, and it's very normal, according to Dr. Hawkins. So this is not, it doesn't even necessarily mean that you want to. It just means, you know, you could be frustrated, having a bad day, got in a big fight, and the idea of divorce pops in your mind. But the other interesting thing he found is that he doesn't really see it as we have a casual divorce society, mm-hmm. which a lot of people, I think, make that assumption because the divorce rate is so high. So if they hear 50% divorce rate, they think, oh, anybody's just, you know, as soon as they feel like they've got a problem going on, they just get divorced. But he's really
right.
not seeing that. So he's seeing people do a lot of different things. You know, they wait it out. They try to change their point of view. They look at their commitment and take it seriously and say, I can't do that. The thing that he also saw, which I think is interesting, maybe unfortunate, is that they're not very proactive strategies, though. He says it's less likely these people are seeking the help of clergy or a marriage therapist. Instead, they're kind of going, oh, maybe I'll just wait and see if it gets better, you know, or something along those lines. And sometimes
it does get better. And I think that's one of the findings is that on occasion, well, not even on occasion, but often, especially if it's a very situational kind of thing that's bringing about the thoughts of divorce, and I've said this on the show before, that the worst thing that can happen to a marriage is having a child, because even though most of us who have children and are married, we wanted our children, and I love my two adults, but they create such a disruption in the marriage, and if you're not prepared for that, then the marriage does take a hit, and that's a long-term situational thing, because usually they're with you for 18 years, but
yes.
But there are things that you can do. But again, it's very different when you have a newborn versus when you would have, say, like I do, I've got adult children, or even when my children were late high school, you know, were in high school, they were pretty self-sufficient, and they didn't take a whole lot of energy like newborns do. And so I think that sometimes you can wait it out, but other times that might not be the best idea.
Right, exactly. I think, you know, every situation's different, but overall, you should be proactive, and you shouldn't just think about it and have these thoughts in your head, especially if they're prevalent, if you're having them frequently. I'm not talking about necessarily the once in a while divorce type of fantasy, but if you're persistently thinking about it, it's probably time to say something, and knowing how to say and what to say, I think people struggle with.
Well, and I have discovered that, and I said in the opening, that there's actually been some findings that divorce can be contagious. And what the studies find is not automatically are you going to get divorced just because somebody close to you is, but it actually plants that seed. And if you know somebody who's divorced and you're thinking about it, then that can kind of be a snowball effect. Are you familiar with those studies?
Yes, I have heard about that, and I think it's true, but I also think in a very general way, and I think this is also one of the interpretations of the data, is that we are in a culture of divorce, and just the fact that it's so common, it's easy for it to pop in our head, almost like we've minimized the word, like divorce is serious. You know, we know that. We know it's major. Yet for it to pop in our head, it seems to come in pretty, you know, in a casual way. But there's a long way from thinking and doing, so thinking on something and acting on something. And I think something like your friends around you or relatives or people you know starting to get divorced, I think it probably just tells you, oh, okay, maybe, you know, maybe that is a good idea, or if they're doing it, it must be okay. And so I just think it all these things in our environment can play into the way we're thinking about divorce and our relationships.
And I agree, because we're now on second and third generation divorces, but my clients who come in whose parents are still together and they see their parents' relationship as pretty much successful, the idea of divorce for them is really awful because it isn't in their culture. I tell people, you know, my parents got divorced, one of my sisters has been divorced, my stepbrother has been divorced. I mean, you know, so my aunts have been divorced, so I'm kind of surrounded by it. So the fact that one of my sisters and I have managed to stay successfully married, we're almost like bucking the trend in our family.
Right.
And
yes.
I think it is that very much not just the culture at large, but your own individual family culture that comes
yes,
into play.
Yes, definitely. And I think it can probably go in two directions. I think there's people who do think, well, my parents got divorced, so I'm sure it'll be fine and I'll survive a divorce and so will my kids and we'll all be okay. But then I think there's another group of people, which is probably like me and like what you just said for yourself, is that you want to do everything possible to not get divorced because of what you went through growing up. So
exactly.
I think it can go in different directions with that. But that would be another interesting study. Maybe that's out there. So people's attitudes about it.
Well, and I do think that as a child of divorce, and I've talked to other children of divorces, we almost are at that extreme, that under no circumstances am I going to put my family through what I went through, which has its own drawbacks if you say nothing is going to cause the end of the marriage, versus, no big deal, I survived, it wasn't that bad, yeah, my kids will be fine. I keep thinking, Kate Winslet, who talked about, you know, it is a growth learning experience for her kids, and I felt, well, yeah, they'll survive being in a car accident too, but I'm not going to purposely drive my car into a wall.
Exactly. You know, yes, true.
And so I wonder how we help couples separate out what's personal to them versus, you know, the culture at large. Because, there is that statistic that 50% of marriages end in divorces. That, first off, we have to be clear, that's not an accurate statistic. It is not that high. And number two, there are things that people can do that will either increase their chance of divorce or, more importantly, decrease their chance of divorce. So not all marriages are created equal.
Right, definitely. I think it's hard to sift out, you know, what's culture, what's your own family. It's kind of like that nature-nurture thing. It probably all really blurs together and interacts together to then have our attitudes or your own personal attitude towards divorce. So I think there's a lot mixed in there. So just kind of like a lot of those things that you just mentioned.
And I'm interested, and I know that this study has kind of teased out some of these things. This is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm talking to Marnie Feuerman, who is the marriage expert at About.com, about how common thoughts of divorce really are and what they actually really mean. And if you've had these thoughts and want to be one of those people who takes action as opposed to waiting for something to maybe improve, then I challenge you to take a moment and write me an email or jot down my phone number and make a phone call so that you can take advantage of my absolutely free, no obligation consultation to see how you can get your marriage on track. You can reach me at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at Foundations Coaching NC, that's FoundationsCoachingNC coachingnc.com, or you can call me at 919-924-0463. Okay, so Marnie, we talk about this, and I've been married for, I'll be coming up on 30 years in May, and, you know, on occasion, I'll look at my husband going, what have I done? How did I get you? I'm not going to say there aren't times when divorce hasn't crossed my mind. And in this study, it actually talks about more than half of the survey participants have thought about divorce at some point in time, and 25% have thought about it within the last 6 months. So, you know, this is something that's kind of out there. So if, I mean, and in my case, I just kind of think, well, it was just a random thought, and yeah, heck no, I'm annoyed with him. It's probably when I pour the coffee on the floor that he's left in his coffee cup for the umpteenth time as I'm loading the dishwasher.
Mm-hmm,
you know, you
right.
have to, for me, it's just a random thought.
You know, they never have it about us. Our husbands don't have it about us, though, right, Leslie?
Well, not happened. To hear my husband tell it. For some weird reason, he thinks I'm wonderful. I have him snowed. But, you know, but I remember thinking, I do a gratitude journal, and this morning, because I'm on the East Coast and we've had this winter storm, and my husband took my car, you know, made sure my car was had all the snow off of it and all this other stuff, and I thought, gosh, I'm so lucky I don't have to be by myself. So yeah, I wouldn't trade
right.
it. Right. But what does it actually mean, if anything, for divorce to cross somebody's mind?
Well, I think it could be, you can use it to as a maybe a signal as to taking the temperature of your marriage and maybe do something about it that's more proactive. But one thing I do also want to mention is that he did say that in most cases, things do get better for people, even when they go through these rough patches, even if they're sometimes seriously thinking about it, that one of them, either they do or their partner makes some changes or just enough time goes by and they sort of go back to that homeostasis or something and the marriages do get better and people are glad they didn't make a decision right then and there when things actually got better. So that's one thing. But I think what's most important is that not to keep it to yourself and to maybe open up a conversation about it with their spouses if these thoughts keep kind of popping up a lot.
Well, and that's exactly why I do this show. And this is exactly my point about, you know, this idea that marriage doesn't ever have challenges, that somehow if you run into a rough spot in your marriage, the problem is your marriage. It's like, no, that's just life. But
right.
for some reason,
right.
we put this magic, I don't even know what I want to talk about, you know, this magic concept around marriage, like somehow, you know, you live happily ever after, but nobody ever asks them how you do it. Well, they don't live happily ever after. They weren't happily ever the whole time they were trying to get together. It's like it really is mm-hmm. a process of overcoming these challenges. But if couples don't know that that challenges are a normal part of marriage, then they're going to be pretty shocked, aren't they?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I think it's not the best expectation that there's going to be no upheaval or difficulties or rough times. I just think that's very unrealistic. So you're correct in that.
So what do we tell couples? What will be the – I mean, I know that in the article or in your conversation with Dr. Hawkins, he talked about people who weren't proactive because for some reason they either didn't want to reach out to somebody outside of the marriage. Was there anything else he said that – kind of gave an understanding of why people are so hesitant to do that?
I think he's still trying to figure that part out. I think as, you know, a marriage therapist, you know, like yourself, I think we can probably predict or guess what's going on with people. And I think that it's just very, very scary for them to have these conversations. I think they're taking a real risk, and maybe they're even having to talk in a way they're not used to. I think they're scared of the outcome, and I just think all these things are swirling around for people, and so they're keeping it to themselves, and they're not taking the initiative to talk about these things.
Well, and that's partially why I want to do this, is because I want to have a greater dialogue about what it means to be married and that it's okay. I mean, I've said this on several programs where, you know, if I were having trouble potty training my child, I would not hesitate to talk to every mother I knew Okay, how did you potty train your child? Mm-hmm. But we don't see that same kind of community effort or support with our marriages, even though in a lot of wedding ceremonies, whoever is performing the ceremony actually asks all the people there, will they support this couple? And I realize I can't support you if I don't know there's a problem. So
right. It is very different.
It is up to the couples to kind of open up, and I do think it's also important who they open up to.
Right, and I hope that changes, and that there people do develop different attitudes, and they do seek support. And we know there's a big problem when people come to our offices and they've had marital difficulties for years and years. It's our job, and also what they need to do is a lot harder for them than if they came to us earlier on. So I hope that studies like this that are coming out do help change the attitudes, or if somebody comes across it, they'll know what to do. In fact, there's very good resources that I believe people that developed the study had. They created a website. It's called yourdivorcequestions.com. And so what it is, it's a whole website dedicated.
I wish they put yourmarriagequestions.com, but anyway.
right. Or it could be marriage and divorce questions.
Divorce questions.
Be better. But it talks a lot about just answering those kinds of questions you're asking. Is like, what do I do? And at least with the Internet, I mean, it may not be the best in all cases, but the resources are at your fingertips. You don't necessarily have to go and speak with your clergy if that's just an overwhelming idea for you, or go call a marriage
or
therapist.
Or if you
that
don't have
a big
one.
Amount of effort. Yeah, or you have no idea what to do. So you can start Googling and researching and hopefully get really good information that's out there. And of course, we can't censor, you know, what are the good resources, what are the bad ones. But at least there are some out there so that people know, like, what to actually do when they, you know, if they're having these kinds of issues.
Well, and I want to read something from your post, which leads directly into another question that I want to ask. Mm-hmm. And this is a quote from Dr. Hawkins. It said, "It is clear in our data that even the serious thinkers have not addressed this with their spouses. People appear to be having the conversation with their spouses inside their own heads. This is generally not the most effective way to go about it." And quite frankly, I think that's his statement is an understatement.
Yeah.
And that led into another piece that you wrote called "The Reality of Conscious Uncoupling," when you were talking about the secret behavior of what you called the initiator. So could you describe that a little bit?
Sure, and this is another body of research that was done, and it went into a book called Uncoupling, Turning Points in Intimate Relationships. And it was really a fascinating read, because what the initiator, the person who's having these thoughts, sometimes they'll try to, you know, fix their partner, even indirectly, or they'll leave clues. Or then they're still not feeling like things are good between them, they'll start turning out of the relationship. They start to develop friendships. They go out. They start doing things on their own. So it's like a slow, gradual drift. And the person's having a lot of these thoughts in their mind that they're not happy with their spouse, but they don't really say it. And it's just a slow, gradual distancing. And then before long, the person is kind of transitioned out mentally. And then by the time they say something to the spouse, like they might finally say, "I want a divorce," the spouse is sometimes totally shocked and totally off guard, and they don't realize it, and they haven't been either tuned in, or the other person just never said anything. They never opened up a dialogue about it. And so they're mentally checking out, like they're divorcing in their heads before they actually physically divorce.
And this is very common, and I see this all the time. And the dynamic seems to be that, since women, I think, initiate two-thirds of the divorces, and a lot of the time I get the man in, it's like, well, I've been perfectly happy. I had no idea she was unhappy. And her response is, well, I've been telling him for years, and then when it comes down to it, it's sort of like you say. She's sort of been dropping hints, kind of like, honey, are you happy? And the guy will go, yeah, I'm fine, but he never asks back, and so that's where the conversation stops. And, you know, it's so sad when you see this, because, had they talked to each other or somebody else, they could have probably resolved this.
Right, and I know sometimes a spouse isn't open to talking, or they're dismissive, or they shut the partner down, or, you know, mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot that can happen that derails these conversations that couples need to have, but I think there's a lot of them that don't even give it a shot. They don't even try to open these conversations. It's just, you know, the hints or the subtle sort of comments, but there's no directly saying, I'm really, you know, unhappy here. I think we need help. I'm just very dissatisfied, and you know, or just whatever they want to put out there to maybe shift the way the relationship is going, so that it goes in a more positive direction, not just wait and
see. I want to point out
I
want to point out something that you said, and this really may help people when they're thinking about approaching their partner, because what you just said was, I'm the unhappy partner, and so what I'm saying is, I'm unhappy, things aren't working for me, maybe we can try something. And the one word you did not use was the word you.
You.
And I think,
you.
And I think
right.
that right there would be, in fact, I know it is. In fact, and I tell my clients, if you can eliminate the word you from the first three words of a sentence, unless it's I love you, you're wonderful, I'm glad you're in my life. You know, but usually when we're unhappy, it's you did this, you did that, why do you? And then the other, you can't have a conversation. But if I'm coming to you and going, honey, you know what? I'm just really struggling right now, and I'm really hoping that maybe we can sit down and talk about what's going on with me, you know, and then I'm owning it. I'm not saying you're doing anything, even though there may be some behaviors that are happening that I'm not really thrilled with, but it's a better way to open that dialogue, don't you think?
Sure. I think that's a really important takeaway from our conversation. You know, if people are listening to this and they're having these kinds of thoughts and they're not sure what to do, I think they should take a chance and, you know, be brave and approach their spouses and open up that kind of conversation. And yes, you're right. Avoid blaming, avoid saying you, and say, you know, we need to fix this. We, you know, we have to go seek some help or whatever it is. But the we part is definitely going to help the person, I think, stay with you and not get defensive if you use we instead of I or you.
And I think the other thing that's really important is to continue to keep coming back to it if it's not resolved. Because these are hard conversations to have, and it's sort of like, you know, the sex talk with your kids. It's not a singular conversation. It's multiple conversations. And I think that people get so worried about having these conversations that they think they have to resolve it all at one time, that's actually overwhelming for people. But in reality, it's like, no, let's just take this little chunk of it and let me go away and think about what you're saying, and then we can come back and talk some more. But we have this idea that we have to have this great big conversation, usually after 8 o'clock at night when both of us are tired and maybe hangry. You know, it's finding the right time to have these conversations, and it's continuing to have them instead of going silent thinking nothing can be done.
Absolutely. I agree. And if you wait for the right time and you're always, I mean, you may always be waiting. So I don't know if that's the best reason for people, you know, to avoid this. I just think people are avoiding it, so they're always saying it's the wrong time.
Well, and one of the things that comes up is people will say, well, things are going so smoothly right now, I don't want to rock the boat. It's like, it's not.
Yes. It's I've heard that one many times.
That's actually the best time to bring it up, when everything's calm and everything's going well, because then, again, I'm bringing it up as, you know, hey, honey, I'm just wondering if we could talk about this aspect of our lives and see if there's something we can do to make it more interesting or better or, you know, whatever. And I encourage people to start having these conversations probably when they're engaged, probably as soon as the honeymoon is over, because then they'll stay out of trouble and they won't have to worry about
yes,
the D word.
That's very good practical advice. You are absolutely right. And I wish that would happen more often as well, for sure.
So, Marnie, can you tell people where they can find your articles? Because you do an excellent job of answering people's marriage questions, not the divorce questions, although you do talk about that too. But you're actually focusing on how to do marriage better. So where can they find you?
You could go to justabout.com and you can search for the marriage topic, or you can just do marriage.about.com. We'll take you directly to the marriage topic page. So marriage.about.com.
And, you know, the truth is we know so little about, well, those of us in the business know a lot, but in general in our culture, we know so little about what's normal in marriage that thoughts of divorce can really take you by surprise. And as I said before, thoughts about divorce are not the problem. Actions that you take are where the problems might be. Who you talk to, and more importantly, who you don't, can make a huge difference in the eventual outcome. So if thoughts of divorce have crossed your mind, the question becomes, what are you willing to do about those thoughts? So keep listening, and we're going to keep having these conversations. And until next week, stay loving.